Reconnect and heal today. Welcome to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf.
Hello, everybody. So excited to be with you. Welcome to Love Never Dies Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, founder of AskDrLove.com, the web's first relationship advice site since 1995, and author of Love Never Dies, which is now in 34 languages, and it's the number one international bestseller, too. So I want to ask you a question. Have you ever thought about this? It's so easy to feel happy when the sun is shining bright. But how do you feel content and even balanced when you're going through a dark night of the soul? Well, I'm going to give you the answer to that question. That's my guest's specialty, and I want you to say hello to the wonderful Rabbi Frank. He's devoted his life and career to supporting others through all phases of life, from birth to the end of our bodily existence. Rabbi Frank has been identified by local, national, and international media, as well as his beloved congregants, as an inspirational, dynamic, charismatic, and deco-drive rabbi. He's well known for his spiritually uplifting and creative ceremonies. He combines both the traditional with the contemporary for congregants from all branches of Judaism, including the interfaith. And his dedication to both his profession and congregants inspires him to conduct thousands of marriages, conversions, baby namings, bar mitzvahs, memorial services, and on and on. And he often makes guest appearances and is frequently seen and heard in the local media, and he's published in many periodicals and books. His caring and sensitive nature draws many people, including well-known celebrities, from all around the world to engage him for their spiritual and religious ceremonies, and he's traveled to extend his blessings throughout North and South America, the Caribbean, Europe, and Israel. And he says that he's guided by the vision of his late father, Rabbi Dr. Emmett Frank, and the great prophet Isaiah, and supported by his devoted and dedicated synagogue staff. And he says, I am simply a rabbi serving all people based on their individual and spiritual desire. So without further ado, let's say hello to my dear Rabbi Frank. Are you with me?
Yes, I am, Dr. Love. What a real honor to be with you. I'm so excited, and thank you for such a wonderful introduction. I pray that we will be able to bring forth those beautiful words into being for all of your listeners.
That's lovely. You know, you really do walk the walk. It's really about service for you. And even in the way you begin, you know, so you just want to come out and bring this kind of miracle of joy in the moment to my listeners and yours. So, you know, it's funny how we met. It's very funny because my uncle, when I was down in Palm Beach County, Florida last month, and I said I really wanted to introduce the transdimensional grief resolution method to the Jewish population in Palm Beach County, he said, I've got the man for you. And he starts telling me about you, and he said that you did the bar mitzvah of his grandson, Justin. And he said, just tell Rabbi Frank, the genius, and he'll know who we're talking about. And I called you up and I just said, you bar mitzvahed the genius. And you go, oh, the genius. And then we were off.
That's right. And it runs in the family, right, Dr. Love? You're part of that.
No hablo inglés. No hablo inglés.
Well, I'm very inspired by your beautiful mission and you assisting and helping people in their spiritual journey. I'm very honored to be with you.
Oh, you're so sweet. So tell everybody about your work, because, you know, it's so easy to feel the joy in the moment when the sun is shining on you and you're in love and everything is great. But I have the knowledge about you that you find the joy even in those painful patches. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yes. You know, interestingly, many times it comes up, Rabbi, what are you doing? Where are you going? I say, I'm getting ready to officiate at a funeral service later on. And they get into this whole different mode. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, and I said, no, you don't understand. I really enjoy officiating at a funeral service as well as a wedding or a baby naming or a bar and bat mitzvah. And they said, what do you mean? I said, because I know that I'm uplifting the spirit of people, no matter what the life cycle event is. And so I want to be their spiritual leader, not to only sympathize with them, whatever they're sharing, but also to uplift their spirits, even at a time such as a memorial service or a funeral service. So our goal is to know and that speak with betachon in emun, with faith and trust in God, in the Almighty, if you will, or the Supreme Spirit, that everything, no matter what is taking place in our lives, everything is a kol beseder. Everything is in perfect order, just the way the loving Spirit has guides us. And we must accept that. And whether we accept it or not, if we don't accept it, it's still going to go on anyway. I remember when my father passed away. He was a rabbi, and he passed away about 30 years ago. And, of course, I was in shock. I didn't know. That he was going to pass away, wasn't sick. And I heard the news, and I went outside, and I saw everything still going on. The world is still going along. It wasn't like anything stopped. It's almost like a blip. So my dad told me over the years when we would officiate at services, weddings or funerals or whatever, he said, you know, son, whenever I pass away, and I hope it's many years from now, I don't want you to be upset. I said, Dad, of course I'll be upset. He says, well, did I ever want you to be upset when I'm living? I said, no. Then don't you be upset when I'm gone. You just go about your life as if nothing happened, enjoy your life, and live each moment to its fullest as if tomorrow is your own last day. And so I've taken that and used that as a impetus for not only how I live my life, but how I serve others. So, for example, we were at a funeral service, and a man who passed away was almost like 100. He was like 98. And the people were upset and were crying. And I said to my dad, I said, Dad, why are they so upset? I was a young man at the time. The man lived to be 100 or almost 100 years old. And he looked at me, he said, son, you know, when it's someone you care about and you love, it's never long enough. It's never long enough. But I want you not to be upset when I go, because I want you to live your life and enjoy it each moment with betachon in emun, with faith and trust in God, to know that everything is in perfect order.
So, you know, I believe, I think that it's so beautiful, because your dad was really speaking long before a lot of the spiritual teachers talked about being in the now and the power of the now, and because the joy is in being in the now, in connecting to others, in love, in the now. He was speaking in this way, enjoy, live your life now and enjoy your journey. Do this before your final ride on a gurney.
That's it.
He's talking about living fully and enjoying. Now, I know that, you know, your dad knew on some level that he was still going to be with you. And so he, without saying it, was really saying, don't even feel sad that I'm gone, because, well, I'm extending on it because I'm still here. I'm just not in a body.
That's why how you and I connected, because when you and I spoke, I related to what you're saying based upon what my dad had taught me and how I live my life. For example, he said, son, he says, when I die, he says, I don't feel you have to go to the cemetery and visit me at the cemetery. He says, I'm not going to be there.
Right.
I'm going to be I'm going to be wherever you are. And we can communicate, we can talk. Anytime you want to be in touch with me, I will be there for you. So sometimes people have these feelings. Yes, I've seen people sometimes, you know, at a funeral service, for example, and they say, Rabbi, you know, I should have spent more time with my father, my mother, my brother. I should have. I said, well, that's okay. You know, you did what you could do, but you can still continue with your relationship. And they look at me and say, what do you mean?
I love that. I love you saying that, because that's what I've been saying, and it's so great to meet you, because if people do look at you like, what? How can I continue my relationship? Because we're such material creatures. We think if I can't see you, smell you, touch you, feel you, you're not here. But hey.
Right.
You know, Rabbi Frank, we talked about the research of the quantum physicists, right? 95% of our universe is dark matter or dark energy. Not because it's evil, but because we just can't see it. It doesn't reflect light. And so now it makes sense to me when Jean said to me, when he left his body, death is an illusion. There's a very thin veil between the realm where you are and the realm where I am. The veil is thinner than you can ever imagine. I'm standing right here. So what I have come to understand is, when they shed the turtle shell of the physical body, the energy of the soul essence just moves into the dark matter. So when your dad and Jean say, we're right here, They mean it. They're literally a breath away across the thin veil in the dark matter.
That's beautiful. And how we honor our matriarchs and patriarchs, our loved ones, and even people who aren't related to us, how we can keep them alive is to follow their example and to live life the way they have lived their life as an example of love. Now, people, that when we say that, you know, do the Jews or these people believe in heaven or hell or whatever, you know, it's not so much heaven or hell per se. It's almost like you honor yourself by living a good life. So when you pass away, you want to be remembered. You will be remembered. You will be remembered for all the acts of kindness you performed, all the mitzvahs you did. But if you didn't live a good life, then you're going to die. Your spirit will die because no one would want to be associated with that spirit or with that type of a memory.
So I want to understand what you're saying, because what you're saying is, and I guess we've got to figure this out now and where the intersection points are. What I hear you saying is, look, the memory lives on, live a good life, and that is the continuation of your soul essence. But it doesn't sound like it's exactly the same as, but my soul essence actually lives, because as Einstein said, energy can't be destroyed. The energy of my soul essence lives, not just in memory. You know, I'm like on a war path here. It's like, don't just reminisce, because reminiscing says you're gone. No, reconnect. Don't reminisce. You see the nuance I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah, by all means. You know, that's an expression that says, you know, having a great retentive mind is a wonderful quality. Being able to forget is even better. Because, you know, sometimes when bad things have happened, people have lived a life that's not honorable, you really tend to forget them. But people who are good, they live on. You know, like some of our greatest thinkers and prophets and prophetesses live on in their writings and their thinking, and they've been an inspiration to all of us. And when you mention Albert Einstein, it's in my mind what he said, and I have it by memory. He says, strange is our situation here on earth. We all come for a visit, not knowing why, but sometimes it seems we're here to divine a purpose. From the standpoint of daily life, however, we know one thing for sure, that we are here for the sake of others, above all whose smile and well-being our own happiness depends, and how I must exert in return to give what I've received. So, you know, that's Albert Einstein, you know, the quantum physics or whatever he did, you know, with the scientific, he said that we're here for the sake of others. And it boils down to whose smile and well-being our own happiness depends.
Isn't that beautiful to hear a scientist say that? And it's, you know, there are truths that are universal, and when you're really tapping into the divine guidance, we all come to the same message. We might say it differently, right? But when it's true, the message just your heart resonates with it. Like I say, our purpose on earth is to perfect our ability to love ourselves and others. The earth plane is our love lab where we practice and perfect this ability.
That's beautiful. And, you know, the statement that most Jewish people know, and again, it's not just relating to Jewish or Christian or Muslim or whatever, but there's a statement in Judaism, it's in Hebrew, tikkun olam, to make the world a better place. Our goal in life is to make the world a better place and to leave a beautiful legacy, like an ethical will, to leave an ethical will, not monetarily only. You know, if all we're doing is working for money, then we're not making enough. So we want to live a good life that's priceless to leave to our children and to them, their children for generations to come, as an example, as a near tamid, an eternal light for them to live by.
You know what I love about you?
Tovim, doers of good deeds.
You really do walk the walk once again, because everything that you're doing is so embracing of every faith. You know, it doesn't matter to you, Christian, Jewish, Kabbalah Jew, it doesn't matter. You really live love in every word and in every deed. And I want to tell you, I've never told another human being what I'm going to tell you now. This is just a secret, really, that I'm going to share. When, you know, Jean was a Jesuit priest, and he taught at the Vatican, and he was very liberal.
Yes.
And you know, he embraced everyone and every faith. And when we went to get married, because I was raised in the Jewish faith, that is, my parents were devoutly atheist Jews, right? The only religion they practiced was religiously hating each other's guts and mine. This is not a joke.
Okay. Oh, my.
This is not a joke.
There's a branch of Judaism called humanistic Jews, which is not necessarily a belief in God, but a belief in humanity.
No, but they were inhumanistic, okay? They were inhuman. Okay. Oy vey, can we talk?
You rose above it, right?
Yeah, I rose above it. So because my family was Jewish by heritage, even though they didn't practice religion, the religion, when it came time for me and Jean to marry, because Jean was a religious scholar, he wrote the ceremony. Okay, and the reason he wrote the ceremony was because he looked for a rabbi who would co-officiate, because he was Catholic, he wanted a priest, and he was looking for a rabbi. And every rabbi he approached refused to do an interfaith marriage. So because Jean was a biblical scholar, among other things, he wrote the service choosing to the passage from the Song of Songs from the Old Testament, because he said that's the Jewish Bible. And
my beloved is mine.
Yes,
right?
And come to the window. And I let him write it. I didn't even read it. And when it was read by the Catholic priest who was a student of Jean's at the Vatican decades before, he came and he did it. And when it was read, I just burst into tears, because Jean said, it's the love poem of the Old Testament. It was so beautiful, and I'm weeping. And at the end of our service, all the Jewish relatives came up to Jean crying and hugging him, because they realized how he embraced all the Jewish, you know, members of my family. And I thought, isn't it tragic that these other rabbis would not be open enough to embrace love in this way, you know?
Yeah. Well, nowadays it seems that there are many open-minded rabbis and ministers and pastors and priests, particularly with the Supreme Court ruling of same-gender marriage as being recognized as being legal. And so it's almost as if, like, legally it's become a time to embrace all peoples. That's the name of our synagogue, Beth Knesset Kol Ha'amim, the synagogue for all peoples. And it's stated, like you said, that from the prophet, from Isaiah, my house should be called the house of prayer for all peoples. And that's what we've done over the years. I must tell you a funny story.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would take place now, but it did, you know, years ago, 20, 30, you know, years ago, interfaith marriages was, you know, like a, you know, you have to choose the right rabbi, the right minister, a pastor, priest, whatever. Now, as I say, most are embracing. So about 20 years ago, these two women came to me, and they wanted me to give them a blessing for their union. Now, 20 years ago, it could not be a legal document, you know, for a license. Not that it's illegal, but they couldn't get a legal document from the state or whatever. Now they can. So these two women came to me, and they said, Rabbi, we'd like for you to officiate at our union and give us a blessing. I said, be my honor to do so. And they said, we belong to a synagogue. I said, oh, you do? What synagogue? And they mentioned the name of the synagogue. And I said, oh, I know that synagogue very well. That is a gay congregation in Fort Lauderdale, and they embrace, you know, same gender. I said, just out of curiosity, why not contact the rabbi there that would do that service for you? And you know what they said to me? They said, Rabbi, we heard all about you, and we want you. However, the main reason she would not, it's a woman, a female rabbi, she would not perform the service. I said, what do you mean? She does, you know, same-gender marriage all the time. Yes,
right.
Rabbi, but she does not believe in interfaith marriages. And I plot.
Is that it's okay if you're gay, but you can't be interfaith. Is
in
that
other words,
retarded?
In other words, it could be the other way around, or it could be whatever, but, you know, it's almost like that's the definition of prejudice. Either you're prejudiced or you're not. I mean, it's like, you know, where do you draw the line? So the whole thing, it falls under that same realm of being prejudiced or not open-minded, liberal, if you will. Liberal doesn't mean political. Liberal means open-minded and broad-minded and accepting of all. So,
you know,
one doesn't have to adhere to or follow the exact following of another person, another way of life, but you can certainly embrace it say it's not, you know, it's not my cup of tea per se to be this way or that way, but I embrace you. I love you. I care about you. And whatever you're doing, keep doing it and enjoy life. And God bless you.
It's beautiful. That is really an amazing, amazing story. You know, I was thinking as you were speaking, this phrase kept coming into my mind. Sin is separation. Separation is sin. You separate yourself from another person. You're separating yourself from God. It's one and the same. And that's the sin, because to separate is to separate yourself from love. God is love. So what that rabbi did was sinful, really.
Well, you know, I like the expression in Hebrew, every letter has a number attached to it. So the number for God in Hebrew, Adonai, is 26. It's a perfect number for God because 2 plus 6 is 8, and 8 on its side is infinity. So I use that for the double ring with two rings together form the 8 and infinity. But what makes it even more symbolic is relating to what you say, Dr. Love, and the word for love in Hebrew is ahava. That equals the number 13. So how do we find God together? How can we bring God into our lives when we extend love to others, ahava, the number 13? When we give love to someone, that's 13. And when they give it back to us, that's 13. So love plus love equals God. We bring God into our lives when we extend love and receive love. And if that chain is broken, there's no God. You plant the seed in the ground,
my gosh,
and you lovingly cultivate the seed. And the seed will come back and bring you love through fruits and vegetables or whatever beautiful flowers or plants. But if you don't nurture it, you don't give the love, you won't.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I could actually cry. That is so beautiful what you just said. I'm very moved. And the way you described it in this numerical way, you see, all roads lead.
Like 18, when you say 18, L'chaim, is L'chaim in life equals the number 18. So, you know, sometimes Jewish numerology, if you will, gematria, if you know, it comes into play and has extra meaning to it when we see the numbers.
Do you do service in Hebrew?
Well, whenever I conduct a service, a wedding or a baby naming, a bar mitzvah, there are certain Hebrew phrases that I say, and I don't speak Hebrew as a language to people because they wouldn't understand. So I have to use it in expressions and then immediately translate it into English. And
because you would be separating yourself if you did so.
And I want them to understand the meaning.
Right. Otherwise, it would be separation. Yeah.
For example, you know, being Jewish, you know that the watchword of our faith is the Shema. Shema Yisrael.
I don't know. You got to talk to me like a complete novice. Like I said, never went to temple, no religious training. I don't know what the words mean. I mean, I know some of the complaining words like, oh, you're giving me tsuris or something like that, but everything else I do not know.
That's more like Yiddish rather than English, you know. It's Yiddish, you know. It's become Yiddish has become more the culture of American language now. Everybody knows it, oy vey or mitzvah, you know. Everyone knows those words, you know. We kind of like, you know, put our culture into
exactly. And then, you know, and so when people who were not raised Jewish, when Gentiles say certain Yiddish words, you'll know they add an extra syllable, like they'll go kvetch or kibitz, you know.
Right. And right. If you say to someone, that's not really kosher, they know what that means, you know. Oh, it's not right? You know? But I was going to say, what I like to do is when we're saying words in Hebrew, I like to translate them according to the way I feel they were meant to be. For example, the Shema is the watchword of our faith, and the Shema goes, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, which means, hear, listen, Israel, that God is one, and we're together as one. Now, there's one word not translated.
All right, you got to hold on this. We got to go to a break. I'm so sorry. It's so rude to separate you from that point. I'll be right back.
That's okay.
I'll be right back in a moment.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll be back in a moment.
Love Never Dies is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, also known as Dr. Love, is the number one international best-selling author of Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, If you're grieving the loss of a loved one, tune in and find out how to reconnect and heal any unfinished business using Dr. Turndorf's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique. Visit AskDrLove.com to find out more.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Roig DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K-8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Classes' mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number 4, classes.org. Sign up today.
Have you seen 1111? Do you wonder why certain numbers keep showing up in your life? 11, 111, 22, 33, 444. People all over the world are seeing 1111 and learning the language of universal communication. Subscribe to 1111 Magazine today. 1111mag.com. 1111 Magazine is a bi-monthly online publication that offers a rich multi-sensory experience. Engage with experts in topics of consciousness. Become enlightened, empowered, and energized so you live a passionate and authentic life of conscious choices. 1111 Magazine, a daily staple for lifting the mindset, expanding the heart, and experiencing greater aliveness. 1111 Magazine. Order now at www.1111mag.com. 1111mag.com.
You're listening to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you yearn to get along better with your life partner or spouse, friends, family members, and even coworkers, Dr. Turndorf's book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship, shows you how to turn conflict into connection for a lifetime of lasting love. Find out more about Kiss Your Fights Goodbye at AskDrLove.com. This is Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. This show is for you, the listener. Once again, here's Dr. Turndorf.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Love Never Dies Radio. I'm having such an amazing conversation with Rabbi Frank. And did you hear the commercial was talking about the meaning of numbers? Rabbi?
Yes.
Yeah. Was that amazing, the synchronicity?
Yes. We're on the same wavelength, right?
Is that amazing?
Mission. Yes, it's beautiful. It's
wonderful. I couldn't even believe it.
I'm very supportive.
And that was amazing. That's the first time I ever heard that commercial. So now I rudely interrupted you before the break. So if you don't mind, continue
that. Let's pick it up from there. By the way, when you're mentioning about numbers, it's interesting that the number 13, you go to an elevator, and we were supposedly a God-fearing type country and not superstitious, but you go to an elevator, there's no 13. It's like,
right?
Is that superstitious or what? Well, 13 is a great number. It's a number of love. 13 is love. Why can't they have a 13th floor? Because there are people that are quote unquote superstitious, you know, that, you know, whatever. Anyway, so in the affirmation of our faith, the Shema, there's one word not translated. We say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." So everyone, they say the affirmation and they translate it in English, but they're not really getting the true meaning of that affirmation because they're saying Israel, and that in itself is a Hebrew word. So no one translates Israel. So if you ask, what is Israel, what does it mean? They say, oh, that's the country Israel. I said, you're right, but what does Israel mean? They go, oh, I don't know, but you're saying, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. What does Israel mean? And they don't have a clue, and when I explain what it means, then that makes a lot of sense. So when our ancestors created that affirmation, you know, when you have like these affirmations like Om, you know, when they say Om, and it comes from the shalom, shalom, om. So when they say the word Israel, if you translate Israel, Israel means literally one, a person, or us, humanity, who strives to comprehend life, who strives to comprehend God's ways. We are all in this together. None of us really know the true, actual meaning of life. We think that we know, and we aspire to believe that it is to bring love to all peoples, which I believe it is, but there's something even greater than that. So Israel, all of us who are striving to comprehend God's ways, to know that we're in this together as one humanity. That's what it means. Here, all of us who are striving to comprehend God's ways, we are here together as one.
Oh my, that's beautiful.
And many people don't take that Israel to mean that other than the country Israel. So just a little side note, you know. So
beautiful. And, you know, right after Jean left his body, one of the first things I heard him say was, we're all one family. We're all one religion. That religion is love.
Beautiful. That's right. I agree.
It's so, you know.
Echad, we say Echad, oneness. We're all here in Echad, one.
You know, I got to tell you, these Hebrew words, the way it, when you pronounce it, it often sounds like you got a little mucus in your throat. It's just the way it is, right?
it's like a little, this, the CH is cha, you know, l'chaim.
Exactly, l'chaim, it's like I'm clearing my throat.
Life, l'chaim, l'chaim. You say it enough and you'll be able to get the CH in there really well. L'chaim, l'chaim, you know, Baruch Hashem, blessed is God, Baruch.
There's a kind of joy in the sound even, right?
I think, yeah, especially when they're good words, you know?
Yeah.
When they're good words, when they're loving words.
Really true. So, now your dad was a rabbi. So did you study under your dad, and did he teach you how to be a rabbi?
Interesting. Yes, my dad was a rabbi in Washington, D.C. for many years, and he was very instrumental in creating civil rights for people. For example, when he came to Washington, D.C. or Virginia, the schools in Virginia were segregated. So he wanted to, you know, spread the love of all peoples as equal, and he wanted to integrate the schools with the help of other politicians and so on. But at the time, it was very difficult. Even that politician, Senator Byrd, from West Virginia, he didn't want the schools to be integrated. He wanted them to still stay segregated. So my father took a stand. He said, you either believe in Byrd or you believe in God. You can either be segregated or you can be integrated. God wants people to be integrated. They were all together as one. And make a long story short, years later, Senator Byrd said his greatest mistake in his whole life was not being open to all peoples at an earlier time in his life. That's what he regrets. So I learned from my father these concepts. Oh, I want to hear something funny, Dr. Love. There's a movie out right now called Marshall. It's all about Thurgood Marshall. You know, Thurgood Marshall was the first black Supreme Court justice. Well, the movie was about Dr. Thurgood Marshall before he became a Supreme Court justice, when he was an attorney for the NAACP. And it was a great movie. Anyway, I told that to my mother. My mother, God bless her, she's 92. She says, do you remember Loring? My first name is Loring. That Thurgood Marshall came to our house for dinner. Must have been a Shabbat dinner. I said, you're kidding, really? And she says, yes, and do you know what you asked him? I said, no, Mom, what did I ask him? I must have been about 10 years old, Dr. Love. And I asked him, I said, he was a tall black man. I said, are you Jewish? And so, Dr. Love, you know what Thurgood Marshall said?
No.
This is what my mother told me. He said, son, I have enough problems as it is.
Oh, my God.
That's a true story. Sometimes we see what's going on right now in our present life and what's happening with prejudice or whatever, and being open, and all these factors come into being that it's a journey. It's a journey that we had to overcome years ago, still overcoming, and it takes on different forms of embracing one another. And I think now the form is that we want to embrace one another, not just, you know, in terms of religiosity, in terms of love, but also economically. I think it'd be nice to know that those who have accomplished a lot economically in their life can give back, if you will, to society, humanity, and make, quote unquote, our country great again by helping others for those who are less fortunate.
That feels like I just got chills. And when I get chills, it's always a sign that a loved one in spirit is very, very close and present. And it was when you were speaking about helping those who are less fortunate, even before you told me that it was your dad's mission, I started to get the chills. So what I'm getting is that your dad is so present to you and so working with you in this mission and so proud of you as well.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. You know, and that's where it comes about. When we honor our loved ones, you know, that the fifth commandment says it all. It's the only commandment that gives you a reward for following it. The fifth commandment is to love and honor your father and your mother. And the reward is longevity and prosperity. So we honor our fathers and mothers when they're living. We honor them when they have passed away. Now, there may be some situations in life where our mothers or fathers, you know, or certain ancestors or people weren't honorable people. Well, you know, we can honor them by whatever they did do that was honorable, that we can take on those qualities, and those that were not, we can just let them go. We can forget about them or forgive. You know, forgiving is it takes a lot of work. Forgetting is, well, you know, it just happens.
You know. You know what? This is now we're into the transdimensional grief resolution method, because there isn't a soul alive who doesn't have some unfinished business with someone in spirit. And oftentimes we have to wait until someone leaves his or her body in order to work it out. That's why one of my patients said to me, "I wish my mother would hurry up and die already so we can work this out." Because when they leave their bodies, they get that life review where they see in every way that they messed up with us, which primes them to want to work it out with us, because now they know what they didn't know when they were in a body. And so then we dialogue with the person who's departed us physically, and we talk back and forth, and it gives us an opportunity to work through those unhealed hurt pieces in ourselves around how that person didn't behave properly, didn't treat us properly. So it's a wonderfully optimistic way of being able to handle these traumas and get a better, you know, outcome. And then it's like peeling leeches off of yourself. As the unfinished business and the old scars get healed, you become freer and freer to live more fully in the now and actually love and reconnect to that person in the now and actually allow that person to help you heal in mind, body, spirit, emotion, because they have a better perspective on what you need in order to fully prosper. So I always say, don't forgive. Don't. Because forgiving for so many people is burying the negative feelings in a shallow grave before the feelings have really been resolved. So I say, let's move through it. Let's dialogue. Let's own you are hurt, mad, sad. And you come through the resolution with a true acceptance and resolution, which is much deeper than just what most of us do, which is, oh, I forgave him, but it's all festering still under the surface of the forgiveness.
That's interesting, unless it's a true forgiveness. Now, you know, at the high holiday services in the Jewish tradition, high holidays bring us back to the time of creation of Adam and Eve, creation of humanity. So we go back to that time and when we were created whole and pure, and if there are certain situations in our lives or other people's lives that have affected us, we are commanded, if you will, and it's a metaphor, obviously it's a metaphor and it's a concept and it's something to strive for. We're commanded to tell someone, I'm sorry if I've hurt you, and since you've hurt me, I forgive you, and let's make amends and let's go about our life with a clean slate to know that everything is hakol b'seder in perfect order now, and it's all starting off on a new foot, so to speak, and a new life for the new year. That's our goal. So being able to forgive, it takes a lot of work. And so it's easy to say, I forgive you, but whether that really happens, like you say, it might fester. So our goal in life is to always be toward that, you know?
Well, I'm thinking like a shrink. So I know that the best way to work something through is to really have a dialogue. And when our loved ones are in spirit and they see how they messed up, then they're more able to take ownership. Like, I tell a lot of stories like this in Love Never Dies, and people who have been physically abused or raped, psychologically tortured, and the person, the parent, the relative in spirit will say, I'm not asking you to forgive me. I'm just asking you to confront me about what I did and let me listen and understand and hold you in whatever you're feeling for as long as you need to feel it until we resolve. And when we resolve it, now everything happens organically, you know?
Right.
I don't have to say, I forgave you. You know, it's there.
Right. You know, so when we use the term forgive, it's for the person themselves. It's not because you agree with the person who did something wrong to you or someone else. You're forgiving them and you're letting it go. I don't want to be bothered by this. I don't want to carry this on my shoulders anymore. You did what you did. You know, it's something it's changed my life, good, bad, or whatever. I forgive you. I'm not spending any more moments on it, and I'm moving on with my life. God bless you. And I'm having my own life now. See you later, goodbye, type thing, you know, and speaking that way. Now, I heard from I took a course years ago called...
Oh, no, it's happening again. I hope you'll forgive me, but we have to take a break.
Okay, that's good.
I'll be back with you in a moment. Don't leave. We'll be back in a moment.
Love Never Dies is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, also known as Dr. Love, is the number one international best-selling author of Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. If you're grieving the loss of a loved one, tune in and find out how to reconnect and heal any unfinished business using Dr. Turndorf's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique. Visit AskDrLove.com to find out more.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Stroll through the garden, relax by the lake, or try a daily yoga or movement class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
If you're living with fear and stress in your life, there is an answer.
If you're ready for a better way, step through the doorway.
The Doorway is a multimedia online course for transcending fear, transforming relationships, accessing inner guidance, and experiencing more inspiration and trust in your life.
To learn more about these online courses based on the teachings of A Course in Miracles and David Hoffmeister, go to acimcourses.com.
Quantum Jumps presents a radical new paradigm that we exist in an interconnected holographic multiverse in which we literally jump from one parallel universe to another. In a moment, you can become smarter, more confident, happier, more outgoing, more effective, in better relationships, with more willpower. When you sense a new connection to another possible you, living the life you'd prefer, immerse yourself naturally into that new state of being. And voila, you've made a quantum jump. Supported by scientific research, Quantum Jumps is an inspirational book backed with practical tools to help you live a happier, more prosperous life. Learn more at quantumjumps.com.
You're listening to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you can't stop crying over the bodily loss of a loved one, Dr. Turndorf's number one international bestseller, Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, will show you how to toss out the tissues and transform your grief into joy using her groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and even heal unfinished business with those in spirit without the assistance of a medium, channeler, or psychic. Sign up for Dr. Love's free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and receive an exciting gift, a free excerpt of Love Never Dies. And now, back to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf.
Welcome back to Love Never Dies Radio. I'm having a very scintillating conversation with Rabbi Frank. So once again,
I interrupted you right in the middle of a very important
point. This is good. This is good. It's like a soap opera. You have to stay tuned to hear the rest, right?
Exactly. That's the cliffhanger.
That's right. That's the same way we do our Torah reading. We read one part of the Torah, and then we stop right then, and we do another part next week. And next week, it keeps everybody stay tuned for the whole year. we were saying about the forgiveness and whether or not one can forgive. You know, it's almost like we have a word in Hebrew called teshuva. Teshuva means to forgive or to forget, if you will, or to apologize or to make amends or to return to God to become that one person again that we are, which is love never dies. It's love. We are all love. Now, if someone in your life, a mother or a father, for example, in particular family member, has done something to you or with you or whatever that you didn't like, that you didn't think came out of love, well, Werner Erhard said, and I learned this years ago, that you can't not love your mom and dad. You can't not love your children. The way they show you they love you or you love them might not be the way in which you want it to be, but that's what they've learned, and that's what they do to show you that they love you, even though it's not the way you particularly want to be loved. You want to be loved with nurturing and kindness. And maybe sometimes our parents, our loved ones, weren't always nurturing and kind to us. Maybe they're a little more stern or whatever. So we must know that love never dies, as you say, and that that's the way they showed us they loved us. They, too, have their issues. Mom and dads aren't always perfect. I know I'm a father, and I don't think I've been the most perfect father. I've strived to be a perfect father, but, you know, it's something that's it's a work in progress. And there's forgiveness. You know, I'm sure that family, friends who are listening on your show now, you've said things or done things to a loved one, but even to a friend. And then you can always go back to them, I'm sorry, or you just continue on as if nothing even happened, and you still remain friends, or you still remain, you know, in love with one another as a husband or wife, and continue on. It's called forgiveness or letting go, letting God, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the word teshuva is like a wound. When you cut your hand, cut your finger, God takes over and heals that wound. So the wound can be healed. It's like returning back to the way it originally was. And by doing so, we can heal ourselves by having teshuva, forgiveness, and that wound, that emotional wound, will return back to being healed again. So then you forget about it. You know, in other words, you cut your hand, it hurts for a while, you put a bandage on it, it heals up, God heals it through the power of the healing, and it goes away, and you never forget it, but you never remember that again. I mean, unless you want to, but it's gone. The pain is gone, and the wound is gone. Maybe you have a little scar there, but that's okay. You can handle that.
Mm-hmm. So what are you doing now? I mean, at this time of year, you're celebrating the Jewish New Year, right?
Right. The Jewish New Year was in September. Jewish New Year is the anniversary of the creation of human beings, of Adam and Eve. And the year that we're in right now, the celebrating the season for Christians, is Christmas, which is the anniversary of the creation of Jesus. Jesus was born December 25th. Our calendar, the Jewish calendar, begins at the birth of humanity, which is the year 5778, symbolically, metaphorically speaking. But the Christian calendar, the secular calendar that we use every day, revolves around the birth of Jesus, December 25th. Which was day one, which was 2017 years ago. Now, you might ask, well, if the calendar revolves around the birth of Jesus, December 25th, how come the calendar begins January 1st?
Why?
You know? So, Jesus was Jewish, and mm-hmm. the Jewish people believed back then, and some people today believe, that a male, a boy, isn't complete in their spiritual, physical growth, if you will, until they had Brit Milah, until they have circumcision, which is 8 days later. So you count the date, December 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st, January 1st is 8 days later. That's why the calendar begins January 1st, because that's the Brit Milah, the 8th day of Jesus' birth.
Wow.
Not too many people know that.
Wow.
And now it's spread out to the universe that's the facts. Isn't that
wow.
nice? No. Now, the Jewish calendar revolves around the birth of Adam and Eve or the creation of Adam and Eve. And some people say, were Adam and Eve created? Some people say, yes, they were created. Some people say they evolved. So if they evolved and you hold that belief of evolution, well, it becomes the day in which animals, if you will, began to have a consciousness to know the difference between right and wrong and to have a belief in God. That's when they became a human. So when we have faith and a belief in God, that's when we become human. Now, also, it's possible, God forbid it should happen, it's possible that a human can revert backwards and become an animal. You see, you hear that on the TV, you know, you see it. People done these heinous acts to others. They became animals. They didn't have that God-like, you know, compassion, consciousness in them anymore. Something happened. They became an animal. They reverted back. You know, my dog bit me one day, not because it didn't like me, just bit me. And then after it bit me, you know, I was playing around with it. And I was bleeding and, you know, like nothing even happened, you know. So it's like that's an animal. An animal doesn't have a consciousness in certain things. But a human being,
I got to tell you, you know, I think animals are. I had a bird named Fluffy. He was a little canary. And I mean, he was a Norwich canary. And Jean said he was the miracle of miniaturization. Because he came to me with a congenital liver disease, which I didn't know, I ended up having to take care of him. I was like his dialysis machine. I made him organic juices and organic homemade everything. And because he was so close to me and needed me, he learned to communicate with me symbolically. And I talk about this in Love Never Dies. Since canaries can't speak, he would wiggle his beak for the number, for the syllables of what he wanted to say. One day, it was amazing. One day we were driving. He would go out to dinner with us, go on day trips, and he was in his cage, and Jean was driving, and I said, you know, Jean, Fluffy has started to take advantage of me. Now when I put down his food, he didn't say thank you by wiggling his beak twice. He didn't say thank you this morning. Fluffy heard me. He jerked his head, spit out what he was eating, ran to the edge of the perch, and put his little face right next to me and went, thank you, wiggled his beak twice. Now, one time, it was so beautiful. Now, when Fluffy was angry, he would make a particular sound. Hee, hee, hee. And he would come charging toward me and then peck my cheek very hard, very, very hard. And that was how I'd know he was angry. Well, one day, he hunkered down, furrows his brow, wings go out. He's on a charge. He's in a rage. He gets halfway across the perch, and I see him jerk like he had a light bulb moment. And by the time he gets to the other end of the perch where I am, he kisses me instead.
Aww.
Now that showed me that he, even a little animal, had a capacity to observe himself and control his impulse. And I used that example often to say to people, I can't control myself when I'm mad. And I would say, if my little Fluffy with his little mini brain could control himself, you can too.
Isn't that beautiful? I have a, you know, I have a little story to tell you. It's an inspirational story. It's about a parrot. Okay, it's a story. It's not necessarily true, but metaphorically, it could be very true. There's a parrot in a cage in a store in Manhattan, and that parrot sits by the front door in the cage. And every time someone walks in, it says good morning. You know, when someone leaves, goodbye. Have a nice day. You know, and so the owner of the store loves this parrot. It's been there for 20 years. And so one day, the owner of the store, he's selling all kinds of tapestries and says, I'm taking a trip to India, and what can I bring you back to all of his employees? And someone says, I want some woodwork. I want a carpet. I want some jewelry. I want this. So he's asking everybody, and he takes notes of everything. And as he's getting ready to leave, the parrot says to him, what about me? And the storekeeper is like, amazing. What would you like? And the parrot says, I want you to go into the jungles of India where you're going, and I want you to go out into the jungle and cry out for the guru parrot of the jungle and ask him what some advice is for me in a cage here in Manhattan at my master's store. Get some advice for me. And the master's like, amazing. He couldn't believe that. But, you know, he goes and he gets all the gifts for everybody. He says, oh, I got to go out to the jungle. So literally, he goes out to the jungle and he cries out, guru parrot. About a minute later, a guru parrot lands on his shoulder, and he says, what is it that I can assist you? And the master says, you know, I have a parrot friend of mine, dear parrot friend of mine. He's in a cage, and my in my office in my store in Manhattan, and he said he wants some advice from the Guru Parrot. What advice do you have to give him? Well, at that exact moment, the Guru Parrot, he went, and he choked and he fell on the ground. And the master couldn't believe it. He said, I can't believe it. I thought I was going to get some advice. And he goes back home and he gives all the gifts out. And the parrot says, what about me? And the master says, you know, I went out to the forest. The Guru Parrot landed on my shoulder. I asked him for some advice for you. And just as he was getting ready to say something, this parrot was going to say something, he went, and he choked and he fell to the ground. And the parrot looks up in the cage and it goes, and he falls to the ground. And the master, I can't believe it. Oh, my parrot of 20 years. And he opens up the cage. He picks him up lovingly. He walks outside, puts him on the ground, and starts to dig a grave for the parrot. The parrot flew away.
Wow.
That's the story. That's how the parrot became released from that cage.
He flew away. It's a great story. Would you believe, I can't even believe we're at the end of this interview. It flew. Can you believe
it? Like the parrot. The parrot flew away.
How time flew. Everything flew.
Yes.
But
I pray that all of our listeners have been inspired.
I know that I have been inspired. So in the last minute, just tell everybody how to reach you, your website, your social media, and then, well, if we don't even have a minute, say it quick, and we'll be back together again.
RabbiOnline.com, like AmericaOnline.com, RabbiOnline.com. That's where you can reach me. We can email. We can communicate. You'll see pictures. You'll see some inspiration. RabbiOnline.com. I'm Rabbi Frank. It's been a real honor to co-officiate with Dr. Love on her radio show, Love Never Dies.
I have loved having you, and you are love, Rabbi Frank. And I look forward to seeing you because I'm actually going to see you tomorrow. I'm coming down to your neck of the woods, and I will really look forward to meeting you in person. And
looking forward to seeing you here in the sunny South Florida. It's beautiful today.
Actually, that's so true. So, and happy Hanukkah, because I think it's still Hanukkah season to you and all of your listeners.
Last night was the last night of Hanukkah, last night.
Okay. Wonderful.
It's the Hanukkah season. Yes, it is.
So I'm going to say goodbye on that note, and not goodbye, but so long. See you next time on
Shalom.
Love Never Dies.
Shalom. Be well. God bless you. Bye-bye for now.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.